Welcome, welcome everyone into the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor and founder of the full service rental real estate company called Morris Invest. We've done thousands of real estate deals over the years, and we've been through all sorts of markets and interest rate changes and tax code changes, you name it, over the years. We've seen a lot of that. And we're in the midst of one of those really interesting periods right now in real estate investing. Certainly seeing what's happening in the stock market, seeing what's happening in the crypto space, seeing what's happening with inflation. So this is a very, very interesting time. And on these Q&A episodes, what we try to do is answer your questions. You can leave us a voicemail question by going to morrisinvest.com. That's M-O-R-R-I-S.com, morrisinvest.com. And right on the right hand side of your screen, you'll see a little microphone icon. Just click that little microphone icon. And try to keep your voicemail questions like 30 seconds or less, but just anything that's on your mind about investing, taxes, what's happening in the broader economy, and we will attempt to kind of unpack it here on the show. So today's episode is our Q&A episode. We've got three great questions from three of you. So let's start with our very first question today.
Hi, Clayton. This is Katia from California. I have a question for, is that a good time to invest in a rental property? Because the house price is so high, I'm looking to either for a rental or invest it in stock market, but both it's kind of very hard to do at this time. I do have some available cash that can put as a down payment on a rental property, and also hoping that to have at least one or two to add it to my portfolio. I appreciate your answer. Again, the question is it a good time to invest in a rental property because of the price of the real estate is so high? Thank you.
Thank you. And of course, there is no simple answer to this question. But I do want to unpack one thing. You talk about rental prices being so high, and that is the case in certain areas, but it's not across the board. And so remember, there is no such thing as a real estate bubble, one big bubble, or one real estate market. There is not one real estate market. There's thousands upon thousands of real estate markets across the United States. So when you look at what's happening in California or Las Vegas or Phoenix or Atlanta or Miami, it's going to be totally different than what's happening in West Texas, like where we build properties, or in Tennessee, or in Iowa. It's going to be totally different. And so you need to look at each of these things on a case-by-case basis and to see at the end of the day what the numbers look like. Ultimately, it just comes down to the numbers. And again, I know I beat a dead horse on this, but I think it's so important. And I was sitting around the other night with a group of business leaders, and we were all talking about investing given this current environment. And we all had the same feeling. It was kind of like a going around the table. And the response from these investors was the same, that if I can invest in something with other people's money and my numbers are still good, even though inflation, even though the interest rates are higher, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm getting a good return on investment, it doesn't matter. And so I come back to what I've said about Robert Shimon, who we've had here on the show. He's a New York Times bestselling author. He's a mentor of mine in real estate. And one thing, again, he says is that if someone's going to give me, interest rate of 9%, he uses like that as an example, and he's going to get a net return beyond his expenses at 10%, he'll take that money any day because it's free money. It's somebody else's money. You're building your wealth with somebody else's money. And the difference between, you mentioned the stock market, of course, and real estate, is that no one's going to give you money to invest in the stock market. And if you have that cash on hand, you're going to put that 100% of that cash into stocks. And then, of course, we saw what happened last week or in the past 2 weeks in the stock market, right? I mean, all sorts of retirement accounts like wiped out in just a few days. And of course, ups and downs. And we saw that's exactly what happened in the crypto space over the past few weeks as well. Like if you had money invested in Luna crypto, completely wiped away. If you had money invested in, CRO, that coin totally collapsed. Right. And yeah, it may come back, and we started to see a little bit of an uptick over the past few days, but you don't know. And in the case of Luna, it might be totally gone, totally dead permanently. That project might be dead. And all of those people that invested a lot of money in Luna as a cryptocurrency, gone. So we'll see. We're keeping our eye closely on that space to see what happens. But my point is that no other asset class are you able to get an asset with other people's money, meaning the bank's money. So you have money, you have cash to invest, to put down as a down payment. That's wonderful. And then, of course, the bank is going to carry the rest of that, right? They're going to have provide you with a mortgage note. They're going to put up the actual risk on the property, but you get the cash flow and you get the tax benefits. And at the end of the day, as long as the numbers make sense, what we do at Morris Invest, our properties have a minimum 18% net internal rate of return. So bearing that in mind, like after expenses and all of those things and using other people's money, can you still get a good internal rate of return? And that's all you should be asking yourself. Yes, where you might be, you mentioned California, you're in California. Yes, so price is skyrocketing. I would never buy a property in California as a rental property. Absolutely not. One of the worst states in America to invest. Not just because of the prices, but because it is one of the most unfriendly landlord states in the country from a legal perspective. So try to get, you know, a tenant evicted from a property who's not paying in California could take over a year. Could be an absolute nightmare. And more, there's just all kinds of draconian issues in California. So again, you need to go where you're treated best. And you need to invest in the places that are going to yield the greatest returns with minimal risk and fantastic upside and using other people's money. So, you know, if you're interested, book a call with our team. We're happy to jump on the phone with you and kind of point you in the right direction. Even if we can't help you, we'll talk with you and kind of see what you're working with and what your goals are financially. Just go to our website, just go to morrisinvest.com and click on the book a call button there and we'll take care of you. So great question. I mean, there's a lot of fear in the market right now. I think you're kind of hitting on that question. All right, our next question comes to us from Tom.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Tom. My mother-in-law's house in the Imperial Valley, California, recently burnt down. The insurance is going to give her $180,000 to rebuild. And she doesn't want to rebuild. She wants to move. There's $140,000 balance left on the note. And she's thinking if she could just pay off the note and then sell the house property separately, probably reach as much as $100,000 for the property itself. So I don't think you can make a profit. I don't think she can build for $180,000 anyways. It's about 1,500 square foot house on about a half acre of land. I'd like to get your opinion. Thank you.
Well, that's a tough one. That's a personal question, Tom. You know, it sounds like she wants to move. She doesn't want to be in that area anymore. And besides, it's going to take a long time to get a house rebuilt. So she's going to be upended now for a year or more. There's a, you know, here's the problem that your mom is facing to rebuild this house and then to live in the house. So maybe she's already aware of this. Trying to find a contractor who's going to do a one-off project like this, incredibly difficult right now. Contractors are in incredibly high demand. I know we're building over 500 homes this year. So I know exactly. And we have people on our step, on our team that stay with us because we're building so many properties. And they're not just building one-off houses. They're staying with our team for many, many years. And we grow and expand that contracting pool that we work with, right? So for her to come in and want to just build this one-off property, it's difficult. I will tell you it is difficult because there's a backlog of demand right now. And so she could be on a waiting list where they might not even break ground on a property for a year, you know, and then a lot can happen in that year. So now she's waiting for this contractor that she's found that's going to start building in, you know, May of 2023 or something. Well, a lot can happen. You know, they can have further delays. They could have all sorts of issues where they have to lay off their own staff. And now they have to come back to your mom and say, sorry, mom, we can't, you know, I know we promised you May of next year. We just can't, we're not going to be able to do it. So now she's, where is she living? You know, is she in an apartment? She's staying with you. So her life has been upended in more than one way with the house burning down. And now she's not living in a place that's permanent for her. So, you know, it's a real personal decision. I would say, you know, if you want to sell the land, and it's in a great area, I think you're probably going to have to clear the lot of the burnt burnt lumber. You probably already did that. Your insurance or the city will make you do that, or they will do it for you if you don't, and they'll charge you like $10,000 for it. So, you know, cleaning that off, cleaning the property off, and then, yeah, putting it up for sale and seeing what she can get, and then taking that insurance check and then paying off her current mortgage note right now so that she's at least pocketing some profit. And then it really comes down to, like, what does she want for the rest of her life? I mean, California is incredibly expensive. So to go into debt with a high interest rate loan right now with a brand, you know, some sort of a new property in California, again, I come back to, if you've watched my show for any length of time, you know that I'm not a fan of owning the home you live in. It's not a performing asset. And so what if she could do what she wants to do with the rest of her life and you know, live in an apartment and travel and you know, see the world? You know, it's something to consider, but buying and putting now all of that cash as a down payment on a property that she's going to live in, it's not a performing asset. It's not going to spit out cash flow for her. The only way that this might make sense is if you decided to maybe build like a duplex where she could live in one side of the duplex and maybe the other side is a rental investment, and then that cash flow could come in, or she buys a duplex as an investment. She lives in one side of the duplex and a cash flow. I mean, it's a personal decision. It sounds like she doesn't want to rebuild in this spot, so something else is going on there. But I just would look at, I just want to like kind of point you in the direction of what's happening in the market right now. It's very difficult to find contractors. And my second part of this is owning a home you live in is not a performing asset, right? It's an asset, right? But it's not a performing cash flowing asset. It's taking money out of your pocket every month. And in the case of California, it's taking a boatload of money out of your pocket every month. You know, and so the taxes and cash flow and all of that are, you know, are non-existent. I'm sorry, the taxes are high and it is not a performing asset. It's taking money out of your pocket instead of putting money in your pocket. So I can't give financial advice on where to go. I mean, I you know, it's kind of a difficult situation. I don't know the full story. If I had more of the story, maybe I could point you in that direction. I can tell you, I would know if this happened to my mom, what I would be saying is, Mom, we're not rebuilding this house. Okay. We're going to take the insurance money. We're going to pay off the mortgage. And we're going to find you a good place to live, an apartment to rent, someplace that you can, you know, have a great place that makes sense, that's affordable and suits your lifestyle. And then we're not going to try to find contractors to build a new property right now in California. Like if my mom lived in California in that situation, I can tell you absolutely that would be the case. There's no way I'm going to go through the pain and the headache of trying to build a new construction property as a one-off project in California. No way, no way, no way. So anyway, I hope that helps, Tom. If I had more details, maybe I could point you in maybe a slightly better direction, but that's my gut reaction on all of that. Today's episode is brought to you by iTrust Capital. By now, you've probably heard all about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum. You might even be already investing in them. But did you know that you could invest in cryptocurrencies through your retirement account? That's right. With iTrust Capital, you can buy and sell cryptocurrencies from a crypto IRA and get all the same tax advantages as a traditional IRA. iTrust Capital allows you to invest in over 24 of the most popular cryptocurrencies. And unlike the stock market, you can buy and sell 24 hours a day. The iTrust Capital platform is easy to use, only takes a few minutes to create your account. Setting up an IRA is free and iTrust's fees are low. It's time to start taking control of your financial future. With iTrust Capital, you can get all the tax benefits of a retirement account while investing in crypto. So pay attention to this URL. It's different. It's not .com, okay? You have to visit itrust.capital/Clayton. That's the code. I love that URL, by the way. itrust.capital/Clayton to start investing today. Again, that's itrust.capital/Clayton. Now, taxes and conditions may apply. Fees do apply. Cryptocurrencies are a speculative investment with risk of loss. iTrust Capital Incorporated does not provide legal, investment, or tax advice. Consult with a qualified legal, investment, or tax professional. All right, our next question comes to us from Joe.
I saw your episode back in January on cash out refi versus HELOCs, and I currently live in California. I rent, but I have two real estate properties in the Midwest that I purchased in 2020. They've appreciated at a higher rate than I could have ever have expected in the last 2 years. And I'm fortunate enough to have a bank that's willing to do HELOCs on both properties, even though they're investment properties and not my primary residence. I'm curious from your perspective, how would you deploy that cash? I'm thinking of using it for an emergency CapEx cost. Also could continue to buy properties through traditional, save up a down payment, and then have enough equity via HELOC to be able to buy properties outright. There's a bunch of different options, and I'm super curious to get your take once you have sizable equity in your HELOCs.
Joe, great questions. And I think you kind of answered your own questions there. I mean, you're asking the right questions and you're providing almost yourself with the right answers. So should I use some of this home equity line of credit for CapEx expenditures? Sure. Yes, it's always good to have a safety net there in case a water heater breaks or there's an unexpected roof repair that you've got to take care of in your Midwestern homes. The good news about those homes is going to be completely different than California. It's going to be a lot cheaper for CapEx, to fix up those properties. I've done hundreds upon hundreds of investments in the Midwest, so I know it well. And I'm not a big Midwestern investor at the moment. I still have some properties, but I expand in that area. Just some areas where I used to do a lot of investing. Just we've had higher crime and some issues that have not been favorable to me as far as demographic data. But having said that, it's going to be much cheaper than what you're obviously dealing with in California. So CapEx as a thing, of course, having a few thousand dollars as a pillow, as a buffer zone for you to make some repairs, great. Absolutely. Second, I just want to point out, hey, fantastic that you found a bank willing to do home equity lines of credit on your investment properties. I don't know the bank, and hopefully maybe, Joe, you can call back in and let our team know, because a lot of people here would love to know the answer to that. Who did you use? Share it with our audience. We'd love to share that. I've recommended a few that we've used over the years, like Flagstar Bank. They do a lot in the Midwest. So Flagstar has been good. Like I said, Dan Krause down at Churchill Mortgage, he does a lot of great stuff as well. So those have just been a few of our recommendations that we have experience with here in-house. But Joe, we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. The second point is having some of that money available as a down payment to make and expand your portfolio. Again, you cannot eat equity. Okay. You cannot eat equity. And so if you are sitting on equity, my rule, this is my personal rule. You can take it or leave it, but absolutely deploy that equity. So you're sitting on equity. These homes have appreciated. A bank is willing to give you free money. Okay. Use it. Use it to build up your portfolio of properties. Expand your portfolio. Now, I'm one of the people that believes don't go 100%. If you could deploy 50% of that to add to your portfolio and then another 50% sat on the side to maybe pay down debt. Now, you live in California. If you've read my book, How to Pay Off, it's an Amazon bestseller. Please check it out in the mortgage section on Amazon. It's called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. Get the blue cover. It's the more updated edition because of the new tax code. Check out that book on Amazon. You'll read it in a few hours. It's short. It's like 100 pages. But one of the things we talk about is how to use your home equity lines of credit in order to pay down your primary mortgage. So I don't know your situation in California, Joe, but if you're like most Californians, look, my wife's from California, so I can bag on California all day long. You probably have a mortgage. Okay, I'm just saying, I'm going to guess. If you live in California, chances are your mortgage is not paid off. It's a very expensive state to live in. So if you can use the equity and the home equity lines of credit from your investment properties to pay down the principal balance of your primary residence in California, then you're expanding that equity position that you can deploy additional capital, but you're also trading, the two biggest enemies in a mortgage, right, are time and interest. So now if you can use this money from your home equity lines of credit to fire it at the 30-year amortized mortgage that you have in California, you're now eliminating years off of your mortgage in California. So again, this is the stuff that gets me excited. I love this question, Joe, because this is the kind of stuff I could sit over dinner with and kind of go back and forth with you and figure out what your position and movement is here. But absolutely, I would be taking about 50% personally. This is my personal opinion, 50% of that home equity line of credit and putting that towards adding additional rental properties to my portfolio. Absolutely 100%. And then I would be looking at how I could deploy that 50% other capital, either have some of it sat on the sidelines. I don't want to go fully leveraged because we don't know what happens in this economy, but go make sure you're protected. And then also look at firing at your primary balance of your mortgage in California to see how quickly you could pay that off using that strategy. So great questions, everyone. Love these questions today. So thanks to all of you for your kind questions. You can email us, you can leave us a voicemail. All these technologies, I'm like, yeah, you could send us a telegram. You could send us a smoke signal. You could send us a carrier pigeon with a note attached if you like. We'll read it. Or very, very simply, you can go to morrisinvest.com. That's our website. We have tons of great resources over there. Again, if you want to find out about our rental properties, we build new construction rental properties from the ground up. And our team places a tenant in the property with our great property management teams that we work with. These are in A-class neighborhoods. We have the best school districts that we deploy our properties in so that we have tenants that want to stay a long time. These are great, great properties. So book a call with our team. Go to morrisinvest.com or leave us a voicemail message just by clicking the microphone icon on the side of the screen. Until next time, everyone, go out there and take action. Become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.